Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, this is Pastor Corbett with Hope for Your Heart. We are on part 6 on our journey as we've been going through how to stay joyful, how to remain joyful, no matter what happens. And so we're down in the book of Philippians. We're going through verse by verse, and we're covering a lot of ground in a short amount of time. But we're on Philippians chapter 3 today. And I want to just read, before we get into Philippians chapter 3, a passage from Ephesians chapter 2, where we're learning here that Paul said, "I am pressing on, for the prize of Christ Jesus." In Ephesians 2:10, it talks about bench pressing and pushing forth much effort. And he says there is some who believe that there will be no growth, but we've got to push on, and Jesus does it all, but we team up with him. And I love how Christ put it when he talks about, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And he says, "You yoke up with me. Yeah, you're going to have to walk alongside me, but I'm going to take the load for you." So we are told from God's word that we're to press on, and Paul did this. Paul understood that as believers, we are to be like worker bees, and we're to be working hard. And Ephesians 2:8-9 is a passage of scripture that we love. We tend to stop at verse 8, where it talks about that we are not saved by anything else but by God's works. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 says, "We are his workmanship, created to do good works." And so I want to talk about responsibility today. I want to talk about the fact that we can learn to be joyful, and there's some things that we can do to help us to learn to be joyful. And I think part of that is taking responsibility. And this is tough in our day and age because nobody wants to be responsible for their actions. You know, if you're having a difficult time, it's easy to say, "Well, it's my mom's fault, my dad's fault, it's my teacher's fault, it's just not my lot in life, I wasn't treated well." And we love to go down that path of a victim mindset. But the victim mindset gets you nowhere. We should be responsible to be all that God has created us to be. On January 13, 2012, the cruise liner Costa Concordia ran aground off the coast of Italy. There were some 4,200 people on board when the captain decided to veer off course and to get close to the island. When he did that, he hit a rock that ripped a hole in the hull some 150 feet long. This past week, or week after that event occurred, 8 bodies were pulled from the inside of that ship, bringing the total fatalities of 25, with 7 bodies missing. The sad thing about this whole event is that no lives had to be lost at all. From early reports, the captain continued to eat his dinner after the tragedy and then abandoned the ship before all the passengers were off. The crew told passengers to go to their rooms and that everything was going to be okay. It was just an electrical problem. They didn't even report the accident to the Coast Guard until after 45 minutes had passed. You know, as Christians, there are times that we have shipwrecks in our lives, but we don't want anybody to know about it. We continue to go about our lives as though nothing is wrong. Meanwhile, we are taking on water, and before long, we are going to go underwater. Paul talks about the fact there are many enemies of the cross, more enemies than friends. He says their destruction is death. He says in the church at Philippi, where he was ministering, in the church that he had started, he says in some respects, there was other churches that were just as important as that church, but he says something is happening to this church. He says some false teachers are coming in, false living individuals who profess to be followers of Christ, but who were in fact enemies of the cross of Christ. You know, the worst enemies of Christ are those who profess him but don't live for him. It's not those who reject Christ. We know where they stand. Paul talks about those who made a profession but didn't accept really the reality of Christ. And he said their God is their belly. In other words, they're driven by fleshly desires. I want you to know that We should not be prideful of our past sinful lives. We should have our minds set not on earthly things, because our citizenship is in heaven. We ought to be focused on what's going to happen in the future, awaiting the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Philippians that, therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. And in this way, dear friends. And we get on to verse number 2. Paul says, I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche. Now, let me tell you about these two people who work side by side in the church at Philippi. They're working together well, but something happened. They fell into a trap. A disagreement somehow arose between them. Perhaps it began as a small argument, but it mushroomed into a rift that not only affected them, but began to hurt the entire congregation. To be of the same mind in the Lord is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, set aside these petty differences. Don't worry about these insignificant things. Paul says in verse 3 of Philippians 4, yes, and I ask you, my true companion. He says that's leaders. Maybe Timothy was involved in this, and maybe Epaphroditus or Luke. And he says, help these women, since they are true companions. They're true leaders. They are contending at my side for the cause of the gospel. So Paul says, don't just brush this under the carpet, but actually deal with it. They are worth trying to salvage. You know, the hard thing is, as many times when we have conflict, we try to avoid it. If you take care of small conflicts, it will keep them from becoming large schisms. A small conflict is much easier to deal with. Deal with things as they first formulate. And that's what Paul says. Paul says, we have two great people here. They have a minor disagreement, but they're great people. Let's reach out to them because they are true companions. They are women that are contending at his side for the cause of the gospel. He says, not only them, but there's also Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. So Paul gives us some really challenging exhortations in Philippians chapter 4, and he tells us, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. He says it again, and he says it again, and he says, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. What can I be anxious about? Maybe you're listening to this broadcast and said, I am anxious about a whole lot of things. And if you knew how difficult my life was right now, you'd be stressed out too. Well, let me give you the words that Paul shares. He says, in every situation, this is how we deal with anxiety. Listen, there's certain things you can come into your life that you cannot help coming into your life. Life is filled with trouble. That's what Job said. As the sparks fly upward, so is the trouble that constantly stirs up in our lives. But Paul says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to the Lord. And so when I'm anxious, this is what I do. I rejoice always. I'm not going to be anxious because I can pray always. So you do a transfer. What are you stressed out about today? If it's big enough to stress you out, it's big enough to give it to the Lord. Give it over to him. Verse 7 says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that is better than knowing what God is doing. I think too many times we say, man, if I knew what was happening, I'd be able to handle it. I don't think that's going to change it. I think that when we look at what's going to happen, it's better to know God than know what he's going through or what's going to happen. Because we know God, we know experience, we know peace. He says he will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He'll protect us. Verse 8, finally, my brothers and sisters, this is how you test yourself to see if you'd be doing the things that you're thinking. Test yourself. Okay, am I thinking on things that are true? Am I thinking on things that are noble? That's decent things. Am I thinking on things that are right, things that are pure, that is untainted, motivated by the right thoughts? He says, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent, you know, excellence, I love that word, excellent. Kind of reminds me of Charlie Tremendous Jones. Years ago, I met him, and he was a motivational speaker who's gone on to be with the Lord. And his name was Charlie Jones, but he became known as Charlie Tremendous Jones. And the reason he was called Tremendous is because everybody, when they would meet him, they would say, hey, how you doing, Charlie? And he would say, tremendous. He would always respond with that reply, I'm doing tremendous. Well, I like that word, excellent. Whatever you do, do with excellence. That's one of my favorite words because God doesn't require us to be the best, but he requires us to give our best. Do excellent, things that are praiseworthy. Think about those things, and whatever you've learned or received, whatever you've observed or heard in me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of all peace will be with you. Now, do you ever find yourself going to church and you're receiving the message and you're being really joyful about what you have learned and what you felt, and then somewhere between Sunday afternoon and the first part of the week, you lose that joy. You totally forgot what you learned on Sunday. Well, sometimes you don't even have to leave the parking lot on church on Sunday, and the joy is gone. The message is totally forgotten. Well, blessed are those that can give without remembering and receive without forgetting, said one author. Well, how can I change that in my life? How can I have a pattern in which I can live more with hope? Well, here's the first thing I think we learn, going back to chapter 3 of Philippians, is that we consistently hold on to true doctrine. Somebody said, here's a good acrostic for spelling out the word hope. Hold on, pain ends. A confident expectation and a desire for something good in the future is a powerful definition of the word hope. You see, Satan came and he attacked Adam and he attacked Eve. They lost paradise. They were cast down. They were discouraged. They had lost hope, but God came along. You know, the first game of hide and seek was played by Adam and Eve. They were so distraught, they went to hide themselves, first with some fig leaves, hiding somewhere in the garden, and God comes looking for them and says, hey, Adam, where are you? Now, God was asking Adam where he was, not because God didn't know where he was. God wanted Adam to realize just how lost he was. God wanted Adam to acknowledge the fact that he had sinned. And so he gets him to acknowledge that fact, and that was the beginning of the change for Adam and Eve. So when you think about hope, holding on, following godly examples of people that have gone on before us, Paul says, join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters, just as you have heard us as a model, seen us as a model, keep your eyes on those who do what we do. Following godly examples is such a powerful way of living out the Christian life. Focusing on the future. Setting your mind on things that are above, not things that are here below. Here's the second thing I think that will help you to live a life that is really filled with joy, and that is to be consistently standing in the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in our time of need. I love that verse. That's Hebrews 4:16. Standing up in the Lord. You know, sometimes I get tired of sitting, and I say, man, I'm getting awful tired just sitting in this chair. Sometimes the best thing is to get up, take a walk. Stand up. Stand up in the fact that you will find grace in your help of need. Another way to help stand up is reach out and help others. There is a world of hurting people out there. If you don't believe that, it's because you have isolated yourself from those who are hurting. I don't think a week goes by without somebody calling our church or stopping by our church and saying, can you guys help me? I used to resent that. I used to say, why in the world are you coming here? Why are you coming here to go get the help that you need? But I don't resent that anymore because I got thinking, you know, I've never had a time in my life where I had to stop into a church and ask for help. My needs have always been abundantly taken care of. Helping others is a way, however, in which we can become a true companion of God. And then constantly rejoicing, not worrying about things, just constantly rejoicing. Take every problem and rejoice over that problem. Not because of the problem, but because of the solution that's going to come with that problem. Constantly praying. You know, if you're sitting in that Hampton Roads traffic, that's a time to pray, right? I have seen the way people drive in Hampton Roads. And it's a crazy place sometimes driving Interstate 64, or if you're up at 664, or if you're going, over the Monitor Merrimack Bridge, or if you're going out toward Portsmouth and going under one of the tunnels, maybe you're under the Midtown Tunnel, and it's just crazy, right? There's so much traffic. People are trying to get in front of you. People are tailgating you, honking their horns at you, flashing their lights at you. Pray. pray for that person that is cutting you off. We're to pray about everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord. Number five, we're to be constantly giving thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. You know, when I started counting my blessings, my whole life changed. You know who said that? Willie Nelson. When he began counting his blessings, it radically changed his life. That old drunk got a life that was changed when he started counting his blessings. I think that we'll also be able to rejoice in the Lord always when we start to consistently think truth about everything. Finally, brothers and sisters, Paul says, think on things that are true, not things that are almost true, not things that are partially true, but things that are true. John 8:32 says, when you know the truth will set you free. You know, if you don't care about the truth, you're trapped. You cannot get set free if you don't care about the truth. You see, the truth will set you free. I had a poster in my office for many years that said, the truth will set you free. And it had a rag doll that was stuck in a trap. And it says, the truth will set you free, but before it does, it really hurts. I think that's how life is. When we begin to acknowledge the truth of our lives, then we are beginning to be set free. Dale Carnegie said this, it isn't what you have, or who you are, or where you are, or what you are doing that makes you happy or unhappy. It's what you think. As you think in your heart, so are you. Here's the truth of your situation. You probably are doing much better than you think you are. You probably have much more going for you than you think going for you. You see, none of us are as bad as our worst day. None of us are as good as our best day. I want you to think on things that are true, things that are noble, things that are praiseworthy. If you begin to think on these truths, then you will be set free. My last point is that we've got to contend consistently for the faith. Pain is nothing compared to what it feels like to quit. You think about that for just a moment. You think about how you felt when you quit. You see, when you quit, something on the inside dies. Pain is something that every one of us will experience. Pain is not nearly as bad as that feeling that we have when we want to quit. Have that faith that you can be a persistent follower of Christ. Somebody wrote this poem called Don't Quit. I know you've probably heard it again, but every once in a while, I go through this for my own benefit. And so maybe somebody's listening today and they're thinking about quitting on their marriage. They're thinking about quitting on their church. They're thinking about quitting on their family. Maybe somebody here is thinking about just quitting life altogether. Do you know that 12 out of every 100,000 people will commit suicide? Hey, suicide doesn't end it all. It actually begins a new chapter of your everlasting life. As you give up on life, you give up on your family. You leave behind people that will be dearly missing you. You know, I don't care how insignificant you may feel you are. Even the most insignificant people have at least six people in their lives in which they can profoundly impact their lives. Many years ago, I did a funeral, and it was the least attended funeral I've ever done. Only six people showed up. It wasn't a very happy service. The guy who passed away had never met. The family asked me to do the service, and I opened up our church. We did the service, and six people came. The tragedy of that service is at the end, I asked those who attended the service if they could share with me some positive things about the person who had passed away. You know, not one of those people could share a positive thing or a positive memory of that individual. What a sad story that is. It's too bad he could have lived his life in a different way. He could have blessed more people. You see, that's very rare that you'd be that far removed from blessing people. I think if you're listening to me this morning or this afternoon or whenever you're listening to me, you have a whole lot of reason to keep on carrying on. You have a wife or a husband that really loves you. You probably have a pastor that's praying for you. You have some brothers and sisters in Christ who care about you. You have neighbors that love you. Don't isolate yourself from them. Get involved with them. Be out there in the center of where people are. We don't need any more isolationists. We need people that are involved in the lives of people. Don't quit. Don't quit when things go wrong, as they sometimes will. When the road you're traveling seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, But don't quit. Life is strange with all its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won if he had just stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace may seem slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver lining of the clouds of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Well, hang in there, my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Thank you for listening today. I'm going to close our broadcast with a word of prayer. And this is a prayer that I hope will infuse in you energy to keep on going and not quit. So, Father of all power, Father of all forgiveness, we think about the gospel of Christ and what it is. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. We come before you at the conclusion of this broadcast and we say, Lord, thank you for empowering us with your Spirit. Thank you for giving us that Holy Spirit that takes up residence within us. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be defeated. We are not to be overcome because we're overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us today. Thank you for the many, many promises that you give us in your word that can keep us going. Help us not to be weary in our well-doing. And I pray specifically today for that person who's listening and they've wanted to quit. Everything within them saying, I got to take my life. I've got to give up on my family. Lord, would you just grab their attention? As they're listening to this prayer today, would you awaken them to the reality that they are loved and they are cared for? I pray that they will reach out and they'll call 757-421-7500 and they'll hear a voice at the other end of that phone that will give them hope. I pray that they will not be weary and not give up. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to share the good news of Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.
Hello, my friend. This is Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. We are so excited to be sharing God's Word with you with hope for your heart. And as we conclude 2019 and we begin 2020, I wanted to give you an offer that I hope that you'll take advantage of. You know, through the years, several key devotionals have really helped me in my growth and helped me to be more like Christ. And one of those devotionals was by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is called the Prince of Preachers. And that devotional is called Morning and Evening with Charles Spurgeon. I would like to give you a copy of that devotional for the new year. And I'm just asking that you will read it every day for 365 days in 2020. Would you take this challenge? And if you will, all you need to do is just contact me. We have an email that is set up that you can send to me. It's hopeforyourheart@hrcc7.org. Let me give that to you again. Hope for your heart. It doesn't have to be uppercase or lowercase, doesn't matter. Hope for your heart, no spaces, at HRCC and the number 7.org. You send me an email, give me your address, and I will mail you a copy of this devotional. If you'd prefer to send us correspondence through the regular mail, you can send something to me at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South, Chesapeake, Virginia, 23322. Or if you want to give us a call, you're welcome to call me at 757-421-7500. 757-421-7500. That is the church phone number. There'll be somebody there at the church Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If it goes into the voicemail, I'll get that message and I will get back to you as soon as I can. But you give me your name and your address and I'll make sure that a copy of this devotional book, Charles Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, will be put in the mail. And if you prefer, you can stop by the church and pick it up. If you live close by to the church, you just let me know and we'd love to give this gift to you. I also wanted to encourage you to come and worship. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. We have many ministries for you to be involved in. If you need help getting past some hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we have a tremendous ministry called Celebrate Recovery that meets every Sunday night at 6 o'clock p.m. I'd be happy to tell you about the Awana ministry that we have. I'd be happy to tell you about our Ridge student ministry that we have. We have a dynamic children's ministry. We do nursery and preschool. We also have an academy that goes from 6 weeks old all the way up through the 11th grade.
If you'd like more information about that, how you can have an affordable Christian education for your son or daughter, you reach out to me. I'll be happy to tell you everything about it. And if I don't know the answer for the situations with the school, my wife just happens to be the school administrator, and she'll fill you in. And we would love to be a blessing to you, so feel free to reach out to us. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, this is a brand new endeavor for us as a church. You are welcome to make a gift to this ministry. You write a check to Hope for Your Heart, and everything that you give would go toward the cost of broadcasting. And we thank you in advance for supporting this ministry, but I'd really like to hear from you. So take just a moment and reach out to us either through phone or email, or send us a letter in the mail, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening to this broadcast. You are such a blessing to me, and you're more of an encouragement than you will ever know. God bless you. I hope you have a prosperous new year.